The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 14 and verse 18. Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. In the 15th year of the rule of the emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea, and Herod was ruler over Galilee, his brother Philip was ruler over Iturea and Trachonius, and Licinius was ruler over Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, God's word came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. John went throughout the region of the Jordan River, calling for people to be baptized, to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. This is just as it was written in the scroll of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "A voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley will be filled and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The crooked will be made straight and the rough places made smooth. All humanity will see God's salvation." Then John said to the crowds who came to be baptized by him, "You children of snakes, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? Produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives. And don't even think about saying to yourselves, 'Abraham is our father.' I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire." The crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" He answered, "Whoever has two shirts must share with one who has none, and whoever has food must do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. They said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He replied, "Collect no more than you are authorized to collect." Soldiers asked, "What about us? What should we do?" He answered, "Don't cheat or harass anyone, and be satisfied with your pay." With many other words, John appealed to them, proclaiming good news to the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. John the Baptist and intrusion seem to fit together. In fact, if you were to look up the word intrusion in the Bible dictionary, you might just find a picture of this woolly, rough backwoods preacher. He was a voice crying in the wilderness, a voice that would not fall silent, a voice that demanded a hearing. So let's hear what he has to say as we sit in the light of the candle of peace on the second Sunday of Advent. The third chapter of Luke's Gospel opens with what Luke, being the historian that he was, might have meant to be a time stamp. Luke walks us through the names of those who sat in power so we know where his story appears in the annals of history. In the 15th year of the rule of the emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea and Herod was ruler over Galilee, his brother Philip was ruler over Iturea and Trachonius, and Licinius was ruler over Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, God's word came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. However, Judith Jones points out that Luke's litany of imperial, regional, and religious authorities does more than date John's ministry. It also contrasts human kingdoms with God's reign. The message could not be more clear. When it comes to John, one of these things is not like the others, and his message is as different as he is. A closer comparison between the established powers of the day and the kingdom which John was announcing says a lot, not only about the two different kingdoms, but it also sets the stage for the kind of peace that will characterize the approaching kingdom John was proclaiming and which we seek to usher in anew this Advent. The political era in which John and Jesus along with him emerged was known as the Pax Romana, or the Peace of Rome. Now, wars are often distinguished by name, but this was a peace that was identifiable by name. But was the Pax Romana a peace at all? Well, it depends on who you ask. The Pax Romana was established by invasion and maintained by force. People were ruled by oppression and fear. It produced a very unstable social climate that was very expensive and proved to be unsustainable. It was a peace that inadvertently had negative impact upon countless lives. Perhaps John would have identified with the sentiment of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Longfellow had fallen into a debilitating grief following the tragic death of his beloved wife. His grief was complicated by the defiance of his son, who enlisted without his father's permission to fight in the Union Army in the Civil War. Longfellow's pen had fallen silent until he heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet, the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And he thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled through a broken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, he bowed his head. There is no peace on earth, he said, for hate is strong and mocks a song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Longfellow's wife, Fanny, had once told him that the bells were the voice of the church, to which he had responded, if but they were the only voice of the church. The bells on Christmas morning were, for Longfellow, what Abraham Heschel would come to call hollow bells, bells that continued to ring with old familiar carols of empty promises, somehow never fulfilled. Have our bells and our voices along with them become nothing more than hollow bells? Our voices, our bells, our songs, our hopes will never be enough to reawaken the hope for peace. It will take more than that. As someone has said, the world will believe in peace only when churches will demonstrate that it can exist. Maybe the best thing we can do to awaken this promise of peace this Advent is to, as the Apostle Paul said, strive for the things that make peace, to demonstrate that peace can exist. We must be more than bells with a hollow ring. We must be the voice of peace within our own wilderness places. Peace will become our chant sublime, our chime, as we give ourselves the things that make for peace. John was that voice of peace, calling us to lift our eyes to another kind of kingdom and another kind of peace. A kingdom not of this world and a peace that this world cannot give. John's voice rang with the sound of a peace that was born in a stable and laid in a manger. A peace that was based not upon power, but upon love. A peace that was exercised not in oppression, but in compassion. John's voice, however harsh it might have been, had a ring to it in the ears of the crowds who went out to hear him. They had heard the bells of Pax Romana, but the sound of those bells did not ring true. They were ready for more than hollow bells and empty promises. Studies suggest that there is a similar longing for a voice of peace that rings more true today. Many who find themselves in their own places of wilderness have given up on the powers that be. People are looking for a different tone of voice than the establishment, one that rings more true, one that is different from the hollow bells filling the airwaves today, just as John's voice was different from those in his day. It turns out that people actually do like the sound of a God of inclusion and grace. They want to know where to find and how to live lives based on solid foundation of mutual caring and commitment. People like the sound of world-changing communities that seek the good of the disenfranchised, the ignored and forgotten ones among us. People are waiting to hear the sound of voices they thought they would never hear again. Voices of hope and love ringing loud and deep. Voices of peace on earth and goodwill to men. People are waiting to hear the voice of peace, and we must be that voice. John's voice rang in the wilderness as a summons to prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley will be filled, every mountain and hill will be leveled. The crooked will be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. For John, peace was not an easy task. When he drew on the analogy of filling every valley, leveling every mountain and hill, he was not saying, bring in the heavy equipment. In John's day, there was no heavy equipment. He was saying, grab a shovel and a bucket, start digging and don't stop digging, ever. He was talking about the rudiments of slow, tedious, hard work, of doing what seemed to be an endless task. Maybe we have mistakenly assumed when it comes to preparing the way for the Lord, preparing the way for Advent's peace, that it is as easy as lighting a candle or singing carols. Not that those are empty efforts, but there comes a time when there is only work. Pull, swing, chop, load, carry, dump, and start all over. Grab a shovel and a bucket. Start digging and don't ever stop digging. Seldom have big solutions come to be without back-breaking, soul-stretching work of doing it one step at a time, the sort that shapes values and deepens relationships. As St. Augustine said, it's one thing to sit and see the land of peace from a wooded ridge. It's another to tread the road that leads to it. When the valleys of separation and division are ever widening, sucking more and more people into the dark gulch of conflict, when relationships get more choked and tangled with little progress being made to straighten the paths that would connect us, when oppression and violence would be the voice of so-called peace, when hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, then we are called to be that defiant voice of peace. Advent is the voice of the church. Ours are the voices of peace. Ours is the song ringing loud and deep. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.